Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
1 Timothy chapter 2, I'll begin reading with verse 3 tonight. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain was real proud of his offering, wasn't he? He brought the work of his hands from that garden, those vegetables. He was mighty proud of it. He was certain it was the best offering that could be made to God. But the Lord rejected Cain's offering, and He favored Abel's, his brother, the offering of a young animal. So why does the Lord reject Cain's offering? Well, we may never really know for sure, but it's possible. The fault lies in the way that Cain presented that offering. Pride and self-centeredness, all at the root, the foundation of where that offering came from. Could it be that God really didn't care about a person coming up with the perfect bunch of grapes? Or maybe the perfect cucumber? Or the most beautiful potato? Or maybe God wasn't really interested in the purest and the most spotless lamb, for that matter. Not in the case of these folks. Now, the spotless lamb was and still is a picture of Jesus Christ. But you see, God created all of these things. God created the fruit and the vegetables. God created the animals. And God can surely create others as well, couldn't He? Make things just as wonderful and just as beautiful as He wanted them to be. God didn't need and still doesn't need a farmer to produce them for Him. God produces them for the farmer. God produces the animals for the shepherd. The story does contain an explanation of sorts. It says that if you don't do well, God says to Cain, sin is lurking at the door. It's unacceptable. There's something inside of Cain that made his offering unacceptable. It was unacceptable from his heart. But God told him, you will have to be the one that masters it. You're going to have to get these wrong desires. You're going to have to get these wrong ideas. You're going to have to get your heart right. God told Cain, you're going to have to see my desire. And you're going to have to become a part of my desire in order for you to get this whole offering thing right. So you see, all of this may have had less to do with the vegetables and more to do with the sinful heart than anything else. You see, Cain wants to take too much credit for something that the Lord provided. Cain, like so many of us, wants to be successful. Cain was looking for that attaboy. He was looking for that way to go. He was looking for God to say, you're it. He was looking for God to say, it's all about Cain. And God didn't say that. The Lord was concerned about something much greater. The Lord was concerned about Cain's heart and about whether his heart was in line with God's desire. You see, what the Lord really wants Cain to do is to be fruitful. God wants Cain to tend the vine, to prune it when it's needed, and then to harvest the fruit in gratitude. In gratitude and in wonder. God wanted Cain to bring that offering to him with a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude, looking at God and saying, God, you provided this and I'm so grateful for it. I want to give you the best of your blessing back to you. You see, God wanted Cain to experience for himself personally God's desire. Well, through Paul's pen, the Lord begins to give specific instructions regarding desires and interests of a sincere believer. We can truthfully say the sincere Christian is one who desires to live a life that is acceptable to the Lord. Now, notice what I say. It is a person who desires to live an acceptable life. It's not a head knowledge type of a thing. It's not a mental decision that we make. I'm just going to get up in the morning. I'm going to live better in the morning. I've made my mind up. When I get out of bed in the morning, I'm going to live better. No, you haven't. No, you won't, because you're trying to do it through your head, not through your heart. You see, God looks for a heart that desires what He desires. We can look at His commands, and we can understand pretty quickly that His commands are not our commands. His commands are made to our heart, not to our head. God speaks throughout His Word, from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. He speaks to the hearts of people. Because God knows that if He can get the heart of an individual, He can get the rest of their body to come along. Because it is the heart that is the key to salvation. It is the heart that is the key to sanctification. It is the heart that will be the key of glorification. And understand, when I'm saying heart tonight, I'm not talking about that muscle in our chest that's going thump, 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 thump. I'm talking about us spiritually. Our spiritual heart, our soul. Our soul. That's what God calls our heart, because that is the heart of who we are. Our soul is the heart of who we really are. We don't serve God out of fear. At least, I hope you're not here tonight out of fear. I hope you're not here tonight because you're afraid of what somebody might say if you're not. I hope you're not here tonight because you're afraid of what God may do to you if you don't show up. I hope you're not here tonight out of that kind of fear and that kind of attitude. I hope you're here tonight because you're serving God from an obedient heart. A heart that is overcome with grace and mercy and love. Not because you decide or you choose. But it's overcome with grace, mercy, and love because of what God has done in your life and in your heart by first calling you to salvation through grace, by faith in Jesus alone, and by applying mercy to your life in the fact of not giving you what you deserved, which was punishment, judgment, condemnation, and for loving you. Remember, I've said before, love is not this concept that we have in our mind where I'm going to love somebody because somebody has something to return to me. I'm going to get something in return for it. That isn't love. A lot of words can be used to describe it, but love isn't one of them. Love is, when we look at agape love, and the many variants of it that are in the New Testament, it is simply a heart that says, I am going to give something to you without anything in return. Without asking, without thinking, without worrying about it. I'm not going to loan you money. I'm going to just give it to you. I'm not going to loan you or help you. I love you and I'm going to do it without worry about anything in return. You see, that's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. When John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. He gave everyone Jesus Christ. He gave the world Jesus Christ, not because he was going to get something in return. God gave the world Jesus because he knew we needed it and he knew that we didn't have anything that was worth giving back. Because we were already fallen. We were already condemned. We were already as low as we could go. It didn't matter how much money we had. It did not matter how much material wealth there was. It didn't matter how popular we were, how prestigious we were, how intellectual we are. It made no difference about any of that. We had absolutely nothing that God was interested in. And we still don't today. We can pat ourselves on the back of the many accomplishments that we have done, but they're nothing in the sight of God. God looks at our heart. He looks at our heart, and God wants us to love Him. God wants us to desire what He desires. God wants us to live an acceptable life. And that acceptable life is not based upon what we think. It isn't based upon our understanding or our definition. It isn't based on anything this side of eternity. It's all based on God. It's all based upon what He wants, what He says, what He expects, and based upon the conditions that He set forth in His Word. We serve God because we want others to know what we have experienced personally. And our heart's desire should be for others to experience God's saving grace themselves. To understand and realize what it is to have grace call them to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So tonight I got three things, three attributes that are there to living an acceptable life. So from God's Word tonight, we're going to find first that living an acceptable life begins with knowing God's desire. In verse number 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Now, last week we looked at prayer and we looked at the importance of prayer and we looked at the authority that prayer has inside of our lives, and all of that set the stage for where we are tonight. When Paul says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, speaking of God, in verse 4. In verse 3 we see three things out of that verse though. That speaks to being acceptable. When we see this is good and acceptable, all men who will be saved, in verse 4, it talks about the salvation of all men. Now that includes and should begin with you. The salvation of everyone tonight. God has in His plans redemption. Now, I'll say this too. God knows through His sovereignty who His elect are. God knows who those elect. He has known from the foundations of the world who the elect are, who the church is going to be. And the church is the elect. They are the ones whom Christ died for, whom Christ has redeemed. They are the ones who will be taken up in the rapture. They are the ones who will come back in His second coming and establish the millennial and all of those things. That they are the elect, and God knows who they are. But understand this, if you're one of those people tonight, if you are saved tonight and you know that you're saved tonight, this verse doesn't just stop right there, and it's not something that should just roll off of our tongue and right out the front door. Because there are others out there who are needing to be saved. There are others out there who are needing to come back to a right relationship with God. There are others out there who are needing grace in their hearts and in their lives. And guess what? We, the church, are the ones who have the privilege of carrying that to them. Now, oftentimes we don't look at it that way, do we? We don't see it as a privilege. Instead, I really don't want to go talk to anybody about Jesus. I really can't. I just can't. I just don't have this and I just don't have that. If everybody had felt that way, what would have been the chance of you being saved tonight? If no one had felt strongly enough about knowing God's desire in their life and strongly enough about having God's desire in their life to have told you about Jesus, what would be the chances that you may not be saved? You see, if we're going to live an acceptable life and we're going to know God's desire, we have to know it through salvation. And we have to first experience it, and then we have to be willing to share it. And that's something that's struggling in the church tonight. Christians just aren't willing to share Jesus. I don't know if some of them think there's just not enough of Him to go around or what. Jesus is never going to wear thin. Jesus is never going to wear out. There's going to be plenty of Him to go around. Nobody's going to wind up being hungry for Jesus at the end of the day. But you see, if we are the church and if we are saved by grace through faith, and we know that and we've answered that and we should have a desire in our heart to tell people about Jesus. Look out, preacher, you're getting into some mighty, mighty thin ice there. We should have a desire. We should have a burning desire to tell people about Jesus. You see where the whole Cain and Abel thing came in now? You see, Abel had a burning desire to give God his offering out of love because it was something that meant something to him. He had an opportunity to worship God and to give something back to God. And Cain just said, well, I'll do it because I have to do it because God made me do it. I'll just do it. God rejected Cain and accepted Abel. Do we have a desire, a burning desire in our heart to tell others about Jesus tonight? If we're going to live a life that's acceptable to God, we will. We will. And if we have one that is acceptable to God, it's going to be acceptable in the sight of God. God's going to see it. Oh my, that's something we better get a hold on tonight. God sees our heart. God sees this desire. And it's something that can't be faked. It's something that we can't put on a fake and a front to. God sees it and God's knows. He knows if it's legitimate or not. And we might be able to fool other people, but we can't fool God. An acceptable life always begins with knowing God's desire. Knowing what it is. And knowing that we have it in our own heart. But number two is living an acceptable life that includes sharing that desire. And I've already touched on that a little bit. To share His desire requires that we recognize it, not just know it's there. Not just know that that desire is there, but recognize it in our own life and recognize the opportunity to share it. Do we look for an opportunity to share Jesus? I mean, that's a yes or a no answer. Either we do or we don't. And the question could be asked another way. Do we look for a way to avoid sharing Jesus? That might bring it a little closer to the house. Do we look for a way to avoid it? It's a legitimate question. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want it to be taken out of context, but I do mean it literally because it's for real. In the Southern Baptist Church tonight, the greatest evangelistic outreach that we have is Vacation Bible School. Now, I praise God for Vacation Bible School, and I praise God for the work that's done through Vacation Bible School and for the children who are saved and brought to Jesus through Vacation Bible School. But there is something bad wrong tonight when that's the greatest evangelistic outreach that a church has over a 365-day period. Now, we can pat ourselves on the back all day long about how much good Vacation Bible School does, but if that's the only outreach that we have in 365 days, there is something wrong in the church tonight. Because there's something wrong with the desire that's in the hearts of the people that are in the church. We don't want to share Jesus. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he wanted God's desire to be brought through him into Timothy because Timothy was getting ready to take into the pastor. Well, actually, he was already the pastor at Ephesus, and Paul was wanting to make sure that he stayed on fire for bringing people to Jesus. And he wanted Timothy to make sure that he kept that in front of the church in Ephesus. If he didn't keep it in front of them in Ephesus, they would grow cold. And if they grew cold, getting that fire rekindled again could be difficult. So Paul wanted Timothy to understand that he had to know God's desire personally, and he had to share that desire with all of those in his congregation. Because to recognize God's desire is to hold it in our heart. When we recognize it in our life and we recognize that we have been saved and we know that we've been saved and we embrace it, it becomes something that we can't keep to ourselves. It becomes something that we have to tell someone about. It becomes something that we just have to get in somebody's face and say, "Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me." And it's not a matter of just saying it because you want to see someone else take Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But praise God, it's burning a hole through you. You've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, maybe you've never experienced that, but I have. I've experienced the moving of God and the desire in my heart where I got to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just going to bust if I don't. Not because of me, but because of Him. Glory to God. He's worth it. I'm not, but He is. If we're going to hold it in our heart, then we're going to have to proclaim it through word and deed. Yes, we're going to have a burning desire to tell somebody about Jesus because of who He is, because of the authority He has in our life, because of the miracle of salvation that's been performed. But not only that, bless God, our lives are going to show it. not only are we going to be talking about it, but we're going to be living it. You see, this is the kind of relationship. You can't talk the talk and not walk the walk. You can't do it. You can't be saved. You can't be saved and be on fire for God and have Jesus living in your heart, living in your life, and only talk about it and not live it. You can't do it. You can try, but conviction is going to take its toll. There's a lot of miserable people that are trying to hide from God tonight because they think they're hiding from the church. And they're not hiding from God. I can go knock on somebody's door and I can hear them tearing the house down trying to hide stuff. I mean, I can hear them tearing the house down. Flang, bang, clang, boom. My gosh, all I want to do is invite you to church. And then we talk. You don't have to hide. Nobody has to hide anything from me. I'm nobody. Nobody has to hide anything from me. And you certainly can't hide anything from God. He knows. He knows. But yet we've got folks tonight who've grown up in church. We've got folks tonight who have served in the church. We've got folks tonight who have been big productive parts of the church and working in God's kingdom. And something has happened that they've grown cold and they've grown indifferent to God and they've moved away and they think they're hiding from Him. They're not hiding from God. He knows all of it. He knows the desire of their heart. And He knows the desire of their heart is not His desire. And that's sad tonight, but it's true. Well, number three, and I'll try to rush and get through this and get it done without chasing any rabbits. Living an acceptable life involves growing in His desire. Are you willing to grow closer to God tonight? Are you personally willing to grow closer to God? Now let me ask that another way. Do you have a desire to grow closer to God tonight? You may say that you're willing, but do you have a desire? A desire to move closer to God. And you see, when we get into this part of our verse of Scripture on 4, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? We are drawn into that knowledge. Remember earlier I said this wasn't a head game, a head knowledge, it was a heart knowledge. God, through the Holy Spirit, called you to salvation. God, through the Holy Spirit, deals with sanctification in your life. God, through the Holy Spirit, will draw you closer to Him. Or God will put a conviction on your heart to come closer to Him. Is that desire there? Do you have a desire to get closer to God? If you do, two things will be present in your life. You will be drawn to His Word. Most folks spend a majority of their day on one of these things, on a cell phone. If many of us spent half as much time in this book as we did on Facebook, we would know beyond a doubt where God's desire was, and we would know where we stood in that desire. if we would take our Bibles off of the bookshelf, blow the dust off of them, if we would open them up and we would get real with God and start spending time reading His Word, praying over that, and looking for the mysteries of the Word of God. There are no secrets in the Word of God. There are no special codes. There's nothing. You don't need a secret squirrel decoder ring to get into the Word of God and understand anything. But there are mysteries. And Paul says himself that those mysteries will be revealed through the Word by the revelation of God, because you spend time in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying over the Word of God, and looking for God to have a revelation through you and start explaining these mysteries. If we want to be closer to God tonight, and we have that desire, it's going to begin with His Word. But it's not going to end there. Because when we have that desire, and we're looking to have that closer relationship, and we're wanting that desire to match God's desire, and we're in His Word, we're going to have an experience of His presence. Now, I am not talking about one of these experiences where somebody walks up and hits you on the forehead, and you fall in the floor shaking and quivering. I'm going to be nice tonight. I'm not going to call no preachers' names that do that stuff. Well, wait a minute. Yes, I am. I'm not going to be as nice as I said I was. You're not going to have a Benny Hinn experience. Let me give you a little thing from God's Word, one of those mysteries. And you can go look at this and verify it. I said I wasn't going to chase no rabbits, but I will this one time. You notice every time one of these faith healer people are up there and they've got somebody, they smack them on the forehead, they fall over backwards in the floor, and they're kicking and screaming and a romping and a rolling and a carrying on. You go to God's Word and you look. Anytime in God's Word, when God moves in somebody's life, they fall down, they fall forward on their face. Prostrate before God in praise. Not backwards. Now, if God judges someone, they fall backwards. Eli, I believe it was, whose sons were priests in the temple, and they defiled the temple. And Eli was sitting in a chair, and Eli fell backwards and broke his neck and died. And it was God's judgment on Eli because of the way he did not discipline even his older sons. Just a little side note there for you to go and do some studying. You see how those mysteries kind of get revealed? Folks, if we want to live a life that is acceptable to God, the door is wide open. But we have to come into it God's way. God's not going to come into it our way. God has already settled everything from the beginning to the end in this world, because God was before the beginning and He will be after the end. You see, Paul wanted Timothy to realize the importance of what he was walking into and what he was making himself. What if the door was opening up to him for God to work through him? And he wanted Timothy to be able to preach that to the folks that were in the church so that they too could experience it under his leadership. As a pastor tonight, as your pastor tonight, this is not something that I want to keep to myself. It's something that I want to tell you about because I want to see your lives fuller. I want to see your lives so full of Jesus that you're busting at the seams to tell people about Him. Because I'm busting at the seams to tell people about Him. And if I can't tell somebody about Him, I'm liable to be out here in the street preaching up and down Highway 221 tonight. But you see, these two verses, they have much to say regarding our relationship with the Lord. We're challenged. We're challenged tonight to look at our life through the eyes of God. Are we saved? Are we truly and sincerely redeemed by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone? As I said earlier, there's only two answers. That's yes and no. And our answer is affirmed through our life. It is affirmed through our life. A truly saved person will have a desire to follow God. A desire that burns within our soul. This desire will seek God's affirmation in our life. And He'll seek it daily. If God's satisfied, we will know it. If God's not satisfied, we will know it. Regardless of our present condition, we will desire to be closer. We may not be as close tonight as we should be, but we'll have that desire to be there. And let me say this as I'm closing. We're never going to be as acceptable as we could be, not this side of eternity. We're going to always be dealing with a desire, and we're going to always be working and having a conviction of doing something better, of getting closer to God, of knowing more about God, of understanding more of the mysteries that can be revealed through God's Word. We're going to always be dealing with these desires, with these convictions, with these things that are working. And that's all part of the glory and the sovereignty of God, because it always keeps us fresh in realizing and knowing who He is in relation to who we are. He is God. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who is in control and in charge of everything. No king, no president, no ruler sits upon a throne on this earth that He made unless God allows it. No life leaves a body of a person unless God allows it. It's how awesome He is. Our salvation should be leading us to a relationship which has to be lived out daily, has to be repented of daily, has to be revitalized and revived daily. I thank God that there's repentance and forgiveness tonight. I'm so thankful for those two things. I know I've used repentance and I've used forgiveness more than once. That gives me the experience of being able to testify to the authority and to the power of God and how it is made manifest through His love for all mankind. Living an acceptable life before God is something that we should be longing for tonight. Not based upon our decision, not based upon our definition, but based upon what God desires. Our desire should be matching God's desire. And if it is, we will be living an acceptable life before God. Brother Ray, would you dismiss us, please?